So you may have heard this story before about these three friends. Two are from Ville Platte, one's from Vols Parish. So you have a Fontenot, a Swallow, and a Ducote. All at the camp over there by Simsport. They go fishing one day. And while they're fishing, Christ appears walking on the water. He walks toward them and he says, "My brothers, I've been very pleased with you, and I wish to give you a blessing and heal you of anything that needs to be healed." Fontenot is very happy about this, and he says, "Well, you know, my shoulder's been bothering me a whole lot. Lord, if you could heal that, I'd be so grateful." The Lord says, "I do will it be healed," and he's cured. The Swallow says, "Well, you know, my knee's been bothering me a whole lot. If you could do something about my knees, I'd be happy." The Lord says, "I do will it be healed," and he's healed. He looks at Ducote, who says to the Lord, "No, thank you. I'm on disability. I'm fine. Don't touch me." Now, that's not to make light of those who are sincerely disabled and certainly do need assistance. But it illustrates a point that sometimes we're scared to get out of the comfort zone and we say that we are fine just the way we are and don't need to change and don't need to be healed. Why? Because with that healing comes responsibility. And responsibility entails some kind of an action, some kind of a change, a renewal, or a conversion, if you would, which oftentimes we don't want to do. But what does God tell us? When God appears to Moses and gives him the commandments, and Moses is giving the law to the Israelites, he says to them, "You must be holy, for the Lord your God is holy." You have to be like God. And Jesus echoes those very same words when the Lord says, "You must be perfect, as your Father in heaven is perfect." Now, obviously, we all have our imperfections, and we're going to say that. Well, nobody's perfect, so how can that be? What is Jesus talking about? He's talking about the fact that he came to take away our illnesses, to make us whole, and we're speaking in a spiritual sense. Our physical deformities or our physical imperfections, all those kinds of things we have to deal with day by day, are means of God's grace. It limits us in one way so that God can do his work in us and through us to renew us and make us something different. What we can't do, God can. Christ says, "I'm the one who makes all things new." Christ is the one who says that with God, all things are possible. But the Israelites also understood something else. That a physical deformity or some kind of an illness or calamity was a result of a person's not being right with God. For example, there was a time that a blind man was brought to Jesus and the scribes and Pharisees asked, "What did this man do, or what did his parents do in order for him to be born blind?" And Jesus said, "Nothing." But this has been allowed to happen so that the glory of God could be revealed through him. That's the thing we have to remember. That all these things, although they're the result of original sin, aren't the result of sin in and of itself. But God uses our deformities, our imperfections, our illness, whatever it might be, that doesn't make us whole, to let his glory shine through. But if we allow those things to limit us, then we also limit God. Jesus, in the gospel that we heard this morning, takes a blind man who can't speak and says, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately the man's ears were opened, his speech impediment was removed, and he spoke plainly. Jesus, we see, as the people exclaimed, has done all things well. He made the deaf hear and the mute to speak. But he opened this man's ears to be able to hear the gospel, to hear the good news, and opened up his mouth to be able to proclaim the gospel and to proclaim the good news, just as he would heal those who were lame, to go out and do what is right and good, to bring the presence of God to others. That's why Christ came. He came to open our eyes, to open our ears, to heal us, to restore us, and to make us whole. He has come to make us perfect spiritually, to make our love, our charity perfect. Yes, we have our human deficiencies, but none of that can ever be used as an excuse for laziness or sloth, as we use the traditional term, or for any kind of carelessness in living out our spiritual lives. We must be perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. Now, how do we reach that? Every time we pray the Confiteor, we pray and we confess about all the sins we have done and the sins that we have failed to do. So we go back to what Jesus did. He went about doing good things. He went about doing good for others. That was the life of Christ. He prayed constantly. And as we heard today again, he has done all things well. When we decide in ourselves that we're not going to do something because of our own judgment, there's a problem. And many times people do that. We can see things happening, and Jesus came to open up our eyes to reality, but we say, oh, that's not how it is, because it's the way that I think that it is. Or sometimes we like to close our ears to the truth, saying, it doesn't matter what God says, it doesn't matter what the church says, I'll say that this is the way that things are, because this is the way that I want things to be, and so that's the way it's going to have to be. But we can't do that. Closing our eyes to reality, closing our ears to the truth, does nobody any good. Certainly not ourselves. And if we try to stay within our comfort zone out of fear because we don't want to be called names, we don't want to cause problems, etc., etc., then why do we even call ourselves Christians to begin with? We are meant to be the presence of Christ in the world. And unless he opens up the barriers to his grace, then he can't change or transform us. But he won't force us either. We have to allow Christ to do his work. Allow Christ to heal us. There's a wonderful book of meditations. It's called Divine Intimacy, written by a Carmelite priest, Father Gabriel of St. Mary Magdalene. And as I was going over the scriptures, I was thinking about what exactly I could use to say, and so I turned to this book every now and again to get some ideas. And he has a chapter on imperfections. And it really kind of plays into what the gospel is talking about today. And Father Gabriel says this, while venial sin always consists in a more or less slight transgression of one of God's laws, imperfection is the omission, the deliberate omission, of some good act to which we are not obliged by any law to do, but one which charity invites us to do. So in this imperfection, it's the not omission of a command of God, but the omission of some good act, something that we're not obliged to do, but that we see needs to be done, that charity invites us to do, and we decide not to do it. So in other words, it's an omission of a good act. That we look at our vocation, you look at your state in life, you look at your abilities, you look at the circumstances, and there's nothing to impede you from doing something good. It's not expected, but it makes you a better person for having done it, and not doing it would actually make us worse off. It actually makes us worse off. Why? It's a refusal. A refusal to perform a better act. A refusal to do something good. It's an abuse of the freedom that God gave us for the sole purpose of simply staying in our comfort zone. Not changing. Not becoming better. And obviously, it implies a lack of generosity. A lack of generosity that's motivated by selfishness and laziness. And a love for our own comfort. All of these which are contrary to what Jesus is calling us to. That's not why he healed us. Voluntary imperfection like this is never conformable to the will of God. Never conformable to the will of God. And consequently, like sin, it's contrary to charity, to love, which tends to full conformity with God's divine will. It's always seeking for those opportunities to do good, doing good as God calls us, and doing that good well. Not being lazy, not being complacent, is simply wanting to love and love perfectly the way that God does. That's what we're called for, that completeness, that wholeness of life. In the second reading, St. James uses a beautiful example. We all like to do things if it's going to benefit us in some way. Kind of like if somebody is throwing a dinner party, and then somebody who comes in, has lots of money, has lots of influence, can do something good for you, can better you. And so you say to this person who comes in with gold rings and fine clothes, take the best seat in the house, and you give this person all your attention. But at the same time, a poor person, maybe they can't do quite as much, they have shabby clothes, not as much power, influence, and money. That person comes in, and what do you say to them? Go sit somewhere in the back. How we make those kinds of distinctions about persons or about situations even in life. Is that good or evil? There's an opportunity to do something good, and we don't do it but we choose our own will instead of what's right and what's good. That's what Jesus is talking about. That's what we have to be healed from. That kind of blindness, that kind of deafness, that kind of muteness. Listen, beloved brothers and sisters, James says, did not God choose those who are poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs to the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? Are we seeking God's will and God's kingdom, or do we seek our own will and our own little comfort zone? Father Gabriel ends the chapter with a prayer, which I think is appropriate to end our meditation and this homily today. Grant me, I beg you, O my God, a strong and generous charity capable of destroying my selfishness down to its very roots. How well I understand that this self-love is the cause of so many of my little infidelities, of so many imperfections into which I fall habitually and which I do not care to correct under the pretext that they are not sins. Give me a real and effectual love, a love capable of overcoming all opposition of self-love and of demolishing all the plans of self-love. You, my God, who are infinite charity, consuming fire, kindle in my soul a spark of your love that will destroy and consume my selfishness. If self-love is the weight which slows my progress toward you, then grant that your love will be a weight still heavier to draw me incessantly to you through a total gift of myself, a gift without reserve or limit. May the Lord cure every disease of our hearts, every disease of our minds, every disease of our souls, that we, like Christ, may do all things well and all things with perfect love.